Well, first of all, our members won't be seeking crumbs. We're in the business now of pay restoration. I note with interest the comments of both Minister Varadkar and Minister Bruton over the weekend. And it's, I suppose starting off in this interview, I'd be saying to both of those ministers, the place for negotiations is the negotiating room, not across the airways. Some trade unions have been...
What are you doing in here?
Well, you've invited me in, Michael, so I've come in. I've given you the courtesy of coming in.
I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, in terms of crumbs, Labour Minister Jan O'Sullivan told teachers to be realistic.
Well, I'm concentrating, Michael. I think everybody has to be realistic. Fair enough. I think that's a fair thing to say to people. I think we're having that conversation with our own members. We have to be realistic. We want to know what we want to achieve. And basically, in relation to SIPTU and other public service unions, where we are is we are looking for not a pay increase as such. We're looking for an increase in pay. And what does that mean? There are a number of levies and costs that have been associated with public sector pay, which have been quite draconian over the period of the emergency. And this government, as I understand it, quite clearly are saying they're going to end that term of emergency. Well, then, OK, if it ends, we have to know when can we start getting back into having pay restored to public servants. And the problem is, Michael...
But that was the agreement, wasn't it? Up to 2016.
There's two issues here. First of all, Michael, we're entering into a session of pay negotiations. The Haddington Road negotiation and the Croke Park negotiation were about a range of things concerning productivity, hours of work, reduction in staff levels, all that type of package for a period of the emergency. Now, I understand quite clearly, governments would always say as the employer, there are certain things they wish to talk about and there are certain things they probably don't wish to talk about. But the areas, you see, you rightly started off with talking about school teachers and professionals like that. The problem is that the bulk of public servants are fairly low paid people who work on the local authority, general operative staff, people who work in the health services, support services, nursing services. You know, when you look at the pay of a nurse, it's fairly moderate. It's not huge salary, and it has to be earned over a protracted period of time. So we would say very simply, and in response to your question, is actually we have committed productivity. Public servants in the public health service are working more hours. They're working with less people. They've extended hours of times for the services for the public, and that's what we need to be concentrating on also, is services to the public. Now, we'll be doing a lot more with a lot less. And part of what we want to talk about, obviously, would be to say, listen, if you want a public service that can deliver to the public, you're going to have to invest in that service also, not just in restoring pay, but also invest in the service, whether that's a school, whether it's a hospital, a local authority, the public rely on the services.
Well, that's it. I mean, in the case of schools, should teachers get a pay increase whilst children are in oversized classrooms? Should health staff get a pay increase while patients languish on trolleys?
Well, I think that there's two approaches to this. First of all, and I just think I made the point, the public service, whether it's schools, whether it's hospitals, has to be invested in. The fact of life is that these people who work in these services are also workers. We have put the very simple, position to people. Our members participate in the local economy every day. If you look at the amount of people in this catchment area, like Drogheda, South Louth, East Meath, look at the amount of public servants that there are, and they commit their wage packs every week to the local economy. And I'm sure that when people walk into the local shop, no one says, did you get that pay packet in the public service or the private sector? It's also, by the way, very important that we start restoring pay for a number of reasons too, because other workers, every worker at this stage, with the economy starting to improve, deserve a slice of that growth. And we want to see that happen.
Are you talking about part restoration or full restoration?
Oh, we'll be attempting to achieve full restoration over a period of time. That's what we want to do. We want to achieve that.
What kind of time frame?
Well, I mean, whatever time frame can be agreed, we don't expect that there's going to be one sharp shock. We expect that there will be an agreement that, over a period of time, that we can start to recover what has been lost. But again, it's not going to be at the expense of the services, Michael. I meant to make that very clear. But we want to create jobs in the economy. Well, then there has to be more spending power. We want to create confidence. There has to be more spending power. Now, the productivity, and I don't know where Minister Varadkar was coming from, because it's not very long ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, we had a conversation about the fact that we have new skill mixes in the health service. In other words, there are people upgrading their skill set all the time to perform tasks which have not been paid for. but they've been performing those tasks. Like people like nursing who are trying to do the jobs of junior doctors, people like healthcare assistants who are trying to take over from the jobs that that the nursing profession would like now to move on from. So we've been working with all that. That is productivity in itself.
But the minister or the ministers or the government or whatever way you want to put it, hold all the cards.
They hold a say in the mouth of them, Michael. You see, at the end of the day, if we say that the economy is picking up, and it is, there are signs of it. It's not picking up for everybody, by the way. Mm. You and I know that. Then they have to decide, well, what they're going to do. And I did notice in the Irish Times this morning a softening by Minister Varadkar on his particular statement, what he was saying he was following on from the language used by Minister Bruton. Well, with all due respect, I think the best thing that can be done here is for the ministers to instruct their negotiators, negotiate with the trade union body, see what can be achieved.
But they probably will get more productivity out of you because they don't have to increase pay levels. I mean, you've already conceded pay levels and increased productivity on the basis that you would see full pay restoration, but you don't appear to have any agreement in stone to restore those pay levels.
Why can't you? Well, you can't have agreement in stone to restore anything. And the one thing I have to say, and I would say this to working people in the public service, the one thing that both ministers have done is that they've snapped everybody out of the idea that this is a fait accompli. This is a matter of form. We've been advising our members throughout the country, you have got to position yourself to fight for these pay restorations. You've got to position yourself to mobilise in the area of telling the public and telling government, as your employer, listen, if the rest of the economy is making progress, you've got to share that with us, and we will share that with the rest
of the economy. Why hasn't that happened up to now? Is that the fault of the membership, or is it the fault of the trade union leadership?
No, the trade union leadership, in fairness, and I did read this again this morning in the Irish Times, is always very informative, of course, almost as informed as you, Michael, indicating that there are preparatory work going on at the moment to try and make sure that it's fully understood the parameters of the negotiation. We have always told our members, this is the pay rest duration talk. This is not a wide range of productivities. There may be discussions about productivity when the Haddington Road agreement comes to an end, which that's due to expire next year. We are not having that type of negotiation. And the other point we need to make too, Michael, which we are seeking to have corrected, we agreed an intern programme where people in support staff grades were getting paid 85 and 90% of band 3, which most people would know what that means in the public service, which is quite good. We're coming out of that. We want to see the moratorium that has been lifted shared with those people and for those people to be converted into permanent posts.
Recruited.
And the reason that is, it's very simple, because the services need people now to be re-employed to provide whatever care that's required in our local hospitals and in our communities. So, look, we welcome the challenge of having the negotiations. Unfortunately for both ministers, there seems to be some type of hot discussion going on at the cabinet table about who's going to do what.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the lead minister in this is Minister Howland, and we look forward to engaging with him.
And I know that the trade unions will be meeting with Minister Howland over the course of the coming weeks, and indeed that discussions are already taking place, both within government circles and trade unions.
Absolutely. Can I just make two further points, by the way, because on the 23rd, we are organising in SIPTU Health Division an actual pay conference, and we're not taking any chances. We are informing our members and mobilising. On the 30th of April, we will be having a public demonstration outside the department.